The details also at your disposal always.
Radio Nova.
Hello, it's 8:30 on Thursday, the 3rd of November, 1981, and here's the Riley Review. A wheelie, wonderful, and wily review, willful and wanton as it may be. I'm going to dive right into the papers, because one of my favorite subjects, at least currently, is in the news today, and I'm going to rattle out about it. The subject is pirates. Ha-ha! Now, you think I mean adventure on the high seas, cutlasses, black eye patches, bawdy women, Errol Flynn, cannonballs flying over the Dublin ports, treasure chests, and wooden legs? Well, that's what the word pirate means to me. But no, that's not what the papers mean. They seem to be using that word as a misnomer for radio stations. Now, I don't understand that. I mean, I know I don't shave often enough. Does that make me a pirate? Do I sound seasick to you? I don't even own a blunderbuss. Let's have a look at the stories. It's hard to read here with the 17th century frigate rolling back and forth in the middle of the Irish Sea. I mean, I have to borrow a rowboat to go to Beauty's. The Times headline on the story is, Radio Bill to Silence Pirates. And the story begins, Existing pirate radio stations and other commercial interests will not be encouraged to participate in the new system of independent local radio planned by the government. The Minister for Posts and Telegraphs, Mr. Cooney, indicated in the Doyle yesterday. Mr. Cooney confirmed that he would reintroduce the bill, providing for fines of up to £10,000 on existing pirate stations, which was brought forward by the last government, but he reversed the Fianna Fáil decision, which would have allowed such organizations to become involved in the new local radio system. Well, I'll have a look at that new system of independent radio planned by the government later. The press story on the subject, that's us, the subject. Hello, are you the predicate? Is headlined, Pirate Radio Forges Ahead of RTE2. We told you so, was the reaction last night of pirate radio stations to the news that they are winning the fight against RTE's pop channel RTE2. A survey conducted by Irish Marketing Surveys for Wilson Hartnell and O'Reilly shows that the pirates have nearly 60% of the listening audience under 25. Ah, now things begin to make sense. Well, a rose by any other name is still trying to get rid of the competition. And spades still dig holes if there's enough strength and enough desire to bury somebody. The story in The Independent is on the back page. That's academic. It's headlined, Cooney Angers Pirates. And it begins, Pirate radio station operators are angry over the government's plans for local radio as outlined by the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs in the Doyle yesterday. The pirates, who command 31% of the listening audience in the Dublin area, feel betrayed because many politicians who are now government deputies used their facilities during the last general election campaign and promised them support in their battle for legalization. Minister Mr. Cooney told the Doyle that he intended to reintroduce the bill prepared by the previous administration to legalize local radio and introduce fines of up to £10,000 for illegal broadcasting. But he added that he was opposed to local radio being in the exclusive hands of commercial interests and would instead favor a community basis with very low commercial involvement. Such a scheme would be the kiss of death for local radio, said Mr. Chris Carey of Radio Nova. It would produce stations like BBC's Radio Birmingham, which is run by community leaders and commands a listenership of less than 3%. Oh, by the way, that fellow, Chris Carey, he's the proverbial boss. Though I must admit, we don't call him captain. That's not to say we don't get tempted to mutiny from time to time. But who ever heard of a boss anyway that people weren't happy when he wasn't around? How's that for grammar? But seriously, oh, that's a great line. Always be in your guard when someone says seriously, folks. Chris Carey's right when he talks about so-called community radio run by the government with, quote, low commercial involvement, unquote. Of course, there's a small audience. I mean, a very small audience for Aunt Jemima recipes and knitting clubs and lost dogs, community events, charities, et cetera, et cetera. But not very much. So I ask, who's going to pay for this? Radio's very expensive, and advertisers ain't gonna touch it. And tell me, how can radio offer a true community service if it doesn't reach a large audience, a large percentage of that community? And anyone in showbiz, anywhere and everywhere, knows that for media to get an audience, it has to be commercial. Commercial is the only motivation, to have to reach your audience, to have to communicate. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Communication? But generally, the danger in radio, television, theater, any art, the danger of not having to reach the audience is self-indulgence and arrogance, complacency and apathy. Look at the history of theater and theater companies. But enough on all that. I'm, as usual, you know me, off the track. My question is, why is commercial such a dirty word? Most of the accepted great art of history was commercial because they needed to eat, so they had to produce quality. Not wanted to, for whatever reason, but had to. All this stuff about community radio. Just look ahead a little bit and think about that. It's very, very expensive, especially so because of bureaucracies. And guess who? You are going to have to pay for it. And don't we provide community services? What about the job spots? That's helped people find hundreds of jobs. Hundreds. And it didn't cost anyone anything. And yet it could not be so successful if we didn't have a listenership. I mean, look, if you're unemployed, are you going to sit around listening to recipes and local talk shows all day? I mean, if you can't provide a job to someone who isn't there, that's self-evident, even to sophists. And what about 24 hours of news, every hour on the hour? And hang around, because in the next few months, you're all going to have community services running out of your ears from here. You'll see, but oh my gosh, wait a minute. It's about 8:36, and I've really been waffling forever this time. I forgot that this is supposed to be a newspaper review and not Hyde Park. So, anyway, tomorrow I'll have to walk the plank for this indulgence. Speaking of indulgence, you see what I mean? I mean, I could never get away with this on a commercial station. But I think they see me as a walking, talking community service. At least they keep sending me around to help freed, treed cats while John Clark is opening discotheques. By the way, I must someday ramble on about the tendency of any mass media to become mediocre as it appeals to the lowest common denominator and is hamstrung by advertisers. They're especially a conservative breed unto themselves. But not now. No point in devil's advocating myself. By the way, again, you know, I get in more trouble by saying God on the air than by saying devil. Now, think about that one. Anyway, on we go. I better have a look at today's headlines before I go. Very quickly, in the Times, government challenged on neutrality by Haughey. The leader of the opposition, Mr. Haughey, yesterday challenged the government to state publicly whether it was opposed to military entanglements by stealth and disapproved of military decisions being taken in the community's name. Another headline is embassies face closure and austerity campaign. Some Irish embassies may be closed as part of the government's drive to cut public spending. Well, if they open radio stations, they'll have plenty of public spending. State pay now crucial issue. As the free collective bargaining process gets underway following the collapse of the national talks, the government will tomorrow consider its attitude on the crucial issue of public sector pay. CIE stoppage threatened for next Tuesday. The Minister for Transport, Mr. Patrick Cooney, is to meet representatives of 11,000 CIE workers before the end of the week in an attempt to head off a one-day strike on December the 8th, which could cripple bus and train services. Strike alert, this is international, strike alert as Polish police storm college. The Polish authorities risked a serious confrontation with the independent trade union Solidarity yesterday when they ordered police to expel 330 trainee firemen occupying their college in Warsaw. Sacked executive awarded £45,000. Mr. Richard Bunyan, former marketing manager of United Dominions Trust Ireland Limited, has been awarded compensation of almost £45,000 by the Unemployment Appeals Tribunal for unfair dismissal. And finally in the Times, the headline, Sense of Sexuality in Heaven. Pope John Paul II said yesterday that men and women will retain their sense of sexuality in heaven, but marriage and procreation will not exist there. On we go. What's in the Irish press? Just quickly, the headlines. Low spirits on high seas. That's a nice coincidence. Sealing spike free booze with Irish waters. Oh, subheadline. Another headline. 44,454 for fired executive. Haughey warns on neutrality. Divorce not ruled out. Fianna Fáil. Let's see what else. RUC men in third force. A claim that RUC and UDR men in disguise have formed a substantial part of the Reverend Ian Paisley's third force, which has been intimidating Catholic areas, has been made by the SDLP. As a full-time UDR man was charged with taking part in a hijacking on the Loyalist Day of Action. And finally in the press, £100 million to keep interest down. That's a central bank step. And finally, the Independent. Here we go. Sacked banker gets 44,000. That amount is going down. First it's 45, then 44 and a half. Now £44,000 award. Another headline, pay. PO men go it alone. Fine Gael chief's phone call overheard. A government minister admitted yesterday that private telephone conversations involving former Fine Gael secretary Mr. Peter Pendergast had been overheard. Whatever that means, I won't go on with it now. Deborah, man in court on murder charge, a breakthrough in the hunt for the murderer of 19-year-old Belfast girl. Reagan fit in well, that's too bad. And finally, for 58, this is their last Christmas. Christmas is a time of cheer and danger for more than 800 Irish people this year to mean death or injury on the roads. Now, I'm going to go in a minute, but first I'm going to give you a few more little tidbits from Funny Convulsing and Funny Confusing, if you're not convulsed by now or repulsed or something. Here's a little item that came from the Evening Press some time ago. Out of context here. A variety concert was held on Wednesday at St. Anthony's Theater, Merchants Quay, at 8 p.m. The injured were taken to hospital. Most of them with second and third degree burns. Here's another little item from the Oxford Times. It's proposed to realign the road to cut out a dangerous double bed, which has been the scene of numerous serious accidents in recent years. And here's a little advertisement in an American in Massachusetts, in a Massachusetts newspaper. Wanted, some additional female technicians at the fast-expanding Charles River Breeding Laboratory. No previous experience necessary. And finally, here's a little item from a law report. Now, if you can follow this, you win a no prize. Sacrificing accuracy somewhat recklessly for the sake of brevity, I'm tempted to say that the object of the action is to determine which of these two bodies, if either, is the other, and if not, whether either, and if so, which is another corporate body of the same name, and if not, in fact, such third body is identical with it. Well, there you go. That'll confuse and befuddle you, I hope. Anyway, I'm going to go now. It's getting near to 8:41, so I'll see you tomorrow. Good morning. Watch out for pirates and cutlasses.
Survey carried out during September and October shows that more people in the Dublin area listen to independent radio stations than to RTE Radio 2. The survey estimates that 31% of Dublin adults listen to about 14 independent commercial stations, Radio Nova and Sunshine having captured the majority of these listeners. The same survey indicated that RTE Radio 2 had approximately 24% of the daily audience. And according to the survey, independent radio has nearly 60% of the audience under 25. However, overall, RTE Radio 1 still has the largest listenership with 51% of the daily audience. The government will reportedly reintroduce a bill prepared by the previous government to close down independent radio stations. In the Doyle this afternoon, the Minister for Posts and Telegraphs said he would bring in a bill in the next parliamentary session to deal with independent local radio. The minister added that he is opposed to the idea of independent broadcasting being in the hands of commercial interests exclusively. Instead, he said radio should be run on a local community basis with a very small commercial involvement if necessary. A Garda chief superintendent today told the Special Criminal Court that the attack on the Gardaí near the British Embassy in Dublin last July was determined, sustained, and well orchestrated. Wednesday's weather. There will be a little drizzle during the night in extreme northern Leinster counties, but mainly dry elsewhere. Some mist or fog patches developing in places. Tomorrow will be generally dry, with most parts having a few bright or sunny spells. Temperatures will range from 4 to 6 degrees Celsius tonight to 8 to 10 degrees tomorrow, below normal for this time of the year. Further outlook, northern counties of Leinster may have some rain or drizzle, but will continue dry elsewhere. Rain will become more widespread on Saturday, but will later clear to showers. It will become rather cold and windy. That's Nova News at 3 minutes past 8.
Radio Nova.